We're going to do some more teaching tonight. I just feel, have felt, to just do some basic Bible teaching through the course of these summer months, not because I think that it's a time for us to just, you know, make it or just do simple things, but for whatever reason, I just feel like the Lord has given me a direction to just deal on basic Bible principles and Bible teaching, things that will help us, things that will help us live for God. I want to know a little bit more about the Lord, but I want a little bit more about how to serve Him. And last Wednesday night, we taught on the subject of prayer. And I didn't really even get good into my notes last Wednesday night. But I really feel to move on tonight. I feel like we covered some areas that were very important. We talked just some very basic things about prayer. And I want to pray. I want to touch the Lord. I want to reach beyond the carnal and touch the eternal. Amen. Is that how you feel? Do you know that your strength is in prayer? You know that. All of us know that. Amen. God has so ordained to limit the work He does in our life as a result of prayer or through the medium of prayer. So prayer is important. I told you last Wednesday night, you were praying when you repented. You were praying when you got the Holy Ghost. You were praying when you got healed. You were praying when you got a blessing. Amen. All of these things were happening and as a result of prayer. That means we just need to keep up praying. Because there's a lot of things that can happen to us in prayer that will not happen at any other time. And everybody said amen. Amen. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about spiritual warfare. And I think it's an important subject. And there are some areas that I want to talk about tonight. Some things we want to address from the Word of God. Many scriptures that I'm going to read at the beginning, you have heard them. But I want to try to help some folks, and especially those who have not been in church very long. You know, let me tell you something, church. Two things. If we can keep folks in church that have been here a long time, and we can keep folks in church that have just come in not very long ago, the church will grow. Do I hear a witness? Amen. There will be growth. So if what I have to say tonight will help somebody that's been here a long time to keep right on living for God, and if I can talk to somebody that's not been living for God very long, that the devil may have unleashed an all-out attack against their life and help them know how to handle that, and them persevere through it and make it, I feel like we've done our job. Amen. For He gave to some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, and for the what? Perfecting of the saints. This is about getting perfected. Amen. I thought about several things tonight along the lines of perfection, and of course that's a whole different study. But I thought about some oak logs that I've got in my yard, and I guess they've been picked up now. I think Jonathan got them picked up the other day and got them put away. But those oak logs are just, you know, that's what they are, just a piece of wood in its rawest form. And right here, you look at this pulpit, and it's made, there's parts of it that's made out of oak, but it went through a perfecting process. And we wouldn't be too happy, most of us here tonight, with just an old oak log sitting up here. But we do kind of like the looks of this, do we not? Amen. The Lord brings us out of the world, and we're just raw people, just raw sinners being saved by grace. But His Word goes to work on us. And this is what He'd like to make out of us right here. Something beautiful, something that has been defined, something that has some beauty and some appearance to it. I believe God wants a perfect church. Can I hear a witness? Everybody said amen. All right. We're going to go through several verses of Scripture, so my good sound man will help me tonight. And I'm just going to read a number of Scriptures that relate in the Word of God to our spiritual warfare, or the fact that we are engaged in spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 3 and 4. Of course, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, that's a wonderful thing also. If you did not bring your Bible to church tonight, then we'll assist you with the overhead. Or if you don't know where 2 Corinthians is in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. And the parenthetical statement in verse number 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we're walking in the flesh, but we are not warring after the flesh. That tells us that we are walking in one realm, but we're fighting in another realm. Amen. That might not be all that easy to do, but that's the way it works. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, down through verse number 14, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, everybody say we wrestle not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not your enemy. That is not where the battle is. But we wrestle against principalities. Everybody help me. Against what? Powers, say it, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, also against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest do what? War a good warfare. And then we go to 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Paul writes to his son in the gospel, says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And the last verse for the time being is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. The apostle said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, all of these verses tonight indicate to us that in our living for God in this world, living the life that we are living, this redeemed life that we are involved in, will put us and engage us in spiritual warfare. And the reason is because there has always been a battle between good and evil in this world. And when you choose to be on the side of good, when you choose to be on the side of right and righteousness, then you have automatically made the devil your adversary. Amen. Somebody said, as I've said before, I didn't have this kind of fight when I was in the world. I didn't struggle this way when I was in the world. Well, there's a reason why that you didn't struggle that way when you were in the world. You didn't struggle that way because the devil already had you. You were already in his clutches. You were already bound by sin. But when the Lord delivered you, set you free, and you put on camouflage uniform with the name of Jesus written across it and the blood of Christ upon your life, you immediately joined the army of Jesus Christ to stand up and rise up against the very powers of hell in the world that we live in today. You are in a fight. Somebody say amen. And a lot of times, it's the subject that people resist considering simply because there is a fear a failure where this business of spiritual warfare is concerned. Let me pause long enough to tell you, you don't have to fear failure when you're in the battle of the Lord. Amen. Because your Bible teaches me and my Bible teaches me, all of us are taught by the Word of God that the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. Amen. When you join this army and you engage in spiritual warfare, Jesus Christ has already made it plain. I have defeated the works of the devil, and I have given you power over every unclean spirit. I don't have tonight. I can talk about spiritual warfare, but I refuse to talk about it from a defeatist standpoint. I stand here tonight telling you that there is victory in the name of Jesus Christ. There is victory in your relationship with God. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to lose the battle. You're not going to lose the war. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. I don't have a message of fear and defeat, but I've got one of power and victory. Amen. I just couldn't come to the pulpit tonight and tell everybody, well, folks, just make it the best you can. I hope you survive. I'm telling you, it's God's will that you survive. It is the will of God that you make it. It's the will of God that you live victoriously. Amen. I believe God has some very simple yet powerful means by which we can live victoriously in Him. Sometimes the battle is confusing and we have a hard time differentiating what we're dealing with. And that's what I want to spend a few minutes on here tonight. I want to identify the three areas that you are going to fight in. The three fronts, I guess we could say, that you are going to fight on. The three main areas that you are going to have to deal with. And if I can help you identify where your main battle is going to be, then I can also, by the Word of God, give you the answer of how to overcome. Because I'm telling you right now, it's not His will that you backslide. Come on, saints. Amen. It's not the will of God that anybody backslide. It's not the will of God that anybody lose out with God. It's not His will that anybody be defeated. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is the will of God that we all be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will tonight that our children backslide. It's not the will of God that our young people backslide. It's not God's will that mama's backslide or daddy's backslide. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, somebody help me here tonight. I was going to just kind of try to take it easy, and I'm probably going to have to before it's over with. I don't know what it is. This is 3 weeks that I've been dealing with this, and I guess I'll just deal with it until I get done dealing with it. Amen. But it's not God's will that husbands lose out with God. It's not the will of God that wives lose out with God. Amen. It's the will of God that when we walk in those doors, we come in with victory in our heart. That when we go to our job, we go with victory in our heart. That when we go to our homes, we go with victory in our heart. God does not have a defeated church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell doesn't have the power to prevail against this church. Amen. So I want to identify the three fronts on which you are going to fight. Three areas that you are going to have to deal with as you live for God. Number one, everybody say the flesh. Number two, everybody say the world. Number three, everybody say Satan. Now, I'm using the term Satan, and that's an all-encompassing term. Probably none of us have ever really encountered the big boy himself. For the most part, we probably never had to personally deal with him. But we've dealt with his lieutenants and his generals and all of his imps that run around trying to defeat saints of God. Amen. But I use the term Satan as an all-encompassing term. I use him to explain, use that term to explain that part of our battle. And everybody say the flesh, the world, and Satan. I am telling you, without any reservation, you can be victorious in your battle with the flesh. You can be victorious in your battle with the world. And you can be victorious in your fight against Satan and the powers of hell. Amen. Amen. Now, we can be victorious if we will realize, if we will understand where our power and strength comes from for our victory. Because while I believe that prayer affects our fight and our battle in every one of these areas, I believe prayer will help us and prayer will strengthen us. As I taught last week, prayer is that medium through which we move from the carnal to the eternal, from the flesh to the spirit. And we get things in the spirit that we cannot get under any other circumstance. But I'm telling you that prayer is that main key, but there are other things that you have to deal with in order to have victory in each of these particular areas. Amen. Let's start with the flesh. What is it that we have to do in order to be victorious where our flesh is concerned? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, the apostle writes and says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." There are fleshly lust within us, he said, that war against our soul. There are things within us as human beings, the works of the flesh, if you please. Can anybody tell me what they are? Galatians chapter 5. Somebody tell me. Huh? Adultery. Somebody give me another one. Fornication. Lasciviousness. Emulations. Variance. Strife. Drunkenness. Hatred. Malice. Anybody else got one? Uncleanness. But they don't stop there, he says, and such like. So that's just part of what the works of the flesh are that are named in Galatians chapter 5. What is he telling us there? He is telling us that that is the normal things that uncontrolled flesh is going to do. When flesh is having its way, when flesh does what it wants to do, it's going to get drunk. It's going to emulate. It's going to have strife and envy and malice and hatred. It's going to commit adultery and fornication. Flesh that is unrestrained, flesh that is not checked by some greater power, is going to engage in those kinds of works. Am I right? Is the Bible right? Amen. And so Peter said that we are to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. In other words, we need to run from those things of our flesh that would engage us in spiritual warfare where our soul is concerned. Romans 8:1. Here's some of the answers. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after what? The flesh, but after what? the Spirit, there's no condemnation. If you're walking after the Spirit, then there's no condemnation upon your life because you're not walking after the flesh. Verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of what? The flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then Galatians 5:16 and 17, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You are going to have to deal with your flesh. Amen. You are going to fight your flesh because your flesh wants to have its way. Can I say our flesh wants to have its way? Our flesh has desires. Our flesh, whenever it is not being controlled by the Holy Ghost, when it's not in submission to the Spirit of God, then your flesh is going to try to reach out and begin to control your actions, control your thoughts, control your intentions, control what you do where your life is concerned. What is the answer where your flesh is concerned? There's only one answer. You can only live victorious if you learn how to submit. Submit your flesh to the will of the Spirit. There's only one thing that flesh can, there's only one way that flesh can be dealt with, and that is through submission to the Holy Ghost. Flesh must be brought under subjection. Well, it's quiet. But it's right. You got to bring flesh under submission. You got a bad temper, you got to bring that under submission. Amen. If you got a short fuse and the least little thing sets you off and you've got what they call a hot temper or an Irish temper. Well, that's just the Irish coming out in me. No, that's just flesh. Yeah. Amen. If the least little thing sets you off, there's a problem with flesh. Let me tell you why that flesh has to stay under subjection. Because there's certain things within your flesh that opens the door to more things that are more ungodly. James talks about it in his writings. He said that where envy and strife is, there is every evil work. You think about it. Where envy and strife, someone who kind of coddles and nourishes envy and strife within them. If someone is always, listen to me, if someone, you get somebody that is always in a fight with somebody else. Talking about flesh right now. You get someone who's always in the middle of a strife. You know, I've dealt with situations, and you have too, where it seemed like every time you turn around, this individual was always in the middle of it. If there was a fight going on, they were in the middle of it. You see that on jobs. You see that in places of business. You see it in church. You see it anywhere you go. Sometimes you'll encounter someone, and I've had people come and say, I don't understand why they don't understand me. They don't understand who I am and what I am. And I'm thinking, you know, every fight that I have to deal with, you're in the middle of it. You know what? The sad thing is, eventually, an individual who is always in the middle of strife, it's not long you start realizing they're involved in a whole lot of other stuff also. The Bible teaches us that where envy and strife is, there is every evil work. It opens a door. If you've got envy in your heart and you're always envious of somebody else because they have this or they have that, and you never can control your feelings because it seems like every time you turn around, this one's being blessed over here, or that one's got this, or they bought this new car, or they got this new home or whatever, and you always deal with that envy. Be careful, friend. It is an open door to even more wicked things and more sin in your life. Do you know how to conquer that? Subject it to the Holy Ghost. Find you a prayer room somewhere and say, Holy Ghost, I'm submitting my flesh to you. I want to put it under your authority. I want you to control my temper, control my tendency towards strife and envy and every other work of the flesh. Put this under subjection of the Spirit. There's only one way to handle your flesh, and that's to put your flesh on the altar and submit it to the will of the Almighty God. You know, pastor starts teaching this kind of stuff, the enemy, he does not like this. Amen. I get to dealing with things like this, and I feel that wicked spirit rising up. Amen. Feel that wicked spirit that wants to resist. I'm not talking about anybody here tonight. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about a spirit of resistance that would like to somehow stand between the pulpit and the pew so you don't get the full thrust of what's being said. He would like to be a hindering factor where the hearing of the word of God is concerned. I want him to know I can preach through his spirit. I can preach through his effort to resist. And the Holy Ghost can help somebody to tonight recognize where their problem is and where their victory lies. Amen. And I'm telling you that it is the only thing that will conquer flesh is subjecting it to the Spirit. You've got to bring it into subjection. You've got to tell flesh you're not ruling the roost. Huh? You gotta tell flesh. There are times, sometime, and you know this, and I know this. All of us having, at one time or another, we have had to deal with this. And that's the fact that there's just some people that it seems like I don't care how hard you try, you can't please them. And there's some situations you encounter sometimes that you feel like, you know what? If I could just punch their lights out one time. Can I hear a witness? Amen. If I could somehow put them to sleep and not let them wake up until the second Tuesday of next week. I know I'm telling you the truth because I got some faces that are real red right now. You're right, Pastor. Amen. And sometimes we feel that way. That's our flesh that would like to take over. Our flesh that would like to control the situation. And there are times that we have to submit that desire. And just say, God, I'll let you handle it. Because there's two things God said we can't have. We can't have His glory. And we can't have vengeance. He said, vengeance is mine. Come on, saints. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay. And any time that we reach out to take vengeance, we're taking God's part. And that's when we get in trouble. It gets our flesh in big time trouble. And any time we take the glory, you know what? As we walk this life and the Lord begins to bless us, as we go along the way, you know what He does? He gives us a glory check every now and then. Huh? I said, God gives us a glory check. You know what He does? He checks to find out whether or not we're still giving Him the glory or if we're starting to heap the glory on ourselves for where we are. And sometimes I got to tell you, that glory check is not as pleasant as what you think it might be. Hey, Lordy, have mercy. I want to give God the glory. My flesh, Paul said, in my flesh there is no good thing. Do I hear any witnesses here tonight? Y'all believe what Paul said? In my flesh there is no good thing. So if there's nothing good in the flesh, whatever is good in us has got to come from God. And if anything works through us that is going to have any impact and help for anybody else, it's got to be by the what? Holy Ghost. It's got to be by the Spirit of God. Our flesh always turns people off. Amen. And if you buy an RV, they have special made hoses for an RV to bring water from the well or the connector to your trailer. And they're specially designed so that in the heat of summer, or whatever the case might be, the taste of that hose is not transferred to the water. So that it's a conduit through which the water is flowing. Come on, church. It is a conduit through which the water is flowing. But you want the water, when it gets to your lips in the trailer or in the RV, you want it to taste like it did when it left the well. Has anybody ever tasted water out of a green rubber hose or a black rubber hose on a hot summer day? Isn't that the yuckiest thing you've ever tasted in all of your life? You know, one of the yuckiest things that people ever taste is God flavored by flesh. Huh? One of the horriblest tasting experiences in anybody's life is to taste the Spirit of God emanating from somebody's life that is influenced and it's flavored by arrogance and egotism and bitterness and strife. Amen. I want to be a conduit for the Holy Ghost to flow through. But I want this flesh to be in such submission to the Spirit of God that it don't flavor the water. It doesn't flavor the flow of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm a little bit off track here where the battle is concerned. But there is a fight with your flesh. And there is no way. You cannot fight with your flesh. You can't play games with your flesh. And you can't fight with your flesh. And don't pretend that you can. Because the very minute that you think, I can handle this, is the very minute that you have made the mistake of thinking you can do it. Because you can't. There's only one way you can handle it. Holy Ghost, help me. I can't handle this in my flesh. Praise the Lord. That's why some young folks get in trouble, because they think they can handle their flesh. I can handle it. I won't go any further than holding hands. I won't go any further than just a goodnight kiss. As far as I'm going. Man, it really got quiet now. I won't go any further. That's as far as I'm going to go. Well, maybe it's just, I think I could probably handle one of those 30-second kisses, not just a peck on the cheek. Give me one of them 30-second ones. Let me tell you what happens. Your flesh starts rising up. And your flesh says, no, that's not where you can stop. And you can play games with that if you want, but there's only one place to handle that flesh. Let's put it on the altar and say, I'm submitting this to the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to do something. I am going to abstain from fleshly lust that war against my soul. In other words, I am going to stiff arm the flesh. I'm going to run from the lust that war against my soul. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're fighting your flesh, but there's only one way to deal with your flesh. Subject it to the Holy Ghost. You want victory in the flesh? Put it under the will of the Spirit. Put it on the altar and say, you're not ruling this thing anymore. The Holy Ghost is going to rule and reign in my life. Everybody say amen. All right. We're going to also fight the world. Everybody say the world. How do you win where the world is concerned? Because I want to tell you, friend, the world is attractive. Huh? I said the world's attractive. The world is very attractive. How do we win where the world is concerned? How do we win where fashions are concerned and trends are concerned? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'll tell you how we win. 1 John 2, verse 15 and verse 16. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of what? Father. For the man in the sound booth, 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. That's, oh, okay, good. If any man love what? The world. The love of who? The Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is what? Not of the Father, but it is where? Of the world. It's easy tonight to conquer the world. It's easy to conquer the attraction of the world. It's easy to conquer the love of the world. You know how to conquer it? Fall in love with God. You say, I'm sorry, Pastor, that's too simple. That's how simple the victory is in your life. You get in love with God and you'll fall out of love with the world. You won't want to look like the world. You don't want to walk like the world. You don't want to talk like the world. You don't want to follow the world's fashions. You don't want to follow the styles. You don't want to follow anything that looks like the world because you love God. You got a love in your heart for God. And when you get a love in your heart for God, you will fall out of love with the world. It's a simple victory. The world is going to appeal to you and going to reach for you. The world's going to tell you how to comb your hair. The world's going to tell you how tight to wear your clothes. The world's going to tell you, you don't need that many clothes on. The world's going to tell you a lot less is just as good. Don't tell me that when you go into town and you start flipping through the new styles, there's something inside of you doesn't reach. Oh, yeah. But if you got a love for God, you'll look at some things and you'll say, you know, that would probably be all right. But you know what? I don't think I'll even want to get that close. I love my God. Your love for God will tell you, I don't need that. That's too worldly looking. That's got too much of the flavor of the world in it. That's a little too sensual. That's too suggestive. Well, it's quiet here, but I'm telling you that when you start falling in love with God, you can stand there and with your love for God in your heart, you will say, that's not something that I need in my wardrobe. Praise the Lord. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I was quite happy the other day. Excuse me. My oldest grandson wanted me to take him by the game store because he had some money and he wanted to buy him a game. And I said, well, does your daddy know? And has he okayed it? He said, well, yes, sir. It's okay. The game is okay. So I took him by and found out later that he hadn't specifically asked his daddy. And so he so he told his daddy he got this particular game. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you something, son. He said, I don't care if there's one word in it that's not good. One curse word. I don't care if it's just a whatever. He said, you won't be playing that game. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think that's where it really ought to be. I want to tell you something. It's so easy to be influenced by this world. And the minute that you think that you can handle a little bit of the world, you have to give up a little bit of God.
Amen.
Do I hear a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, you got to give up something in order to embrace. You got to give up some of God in order to embrace some of the world.
Right.
But when you love God, you'll draw some lines. Because you'll say, that's not enough like God.
Amen.
That's not enough like the Lord that I serve. You want to conquer the world? You want to conquer the effects of the world in your life? Fall in love with God so much. You'll be able to drive right by the movie house and it won't even affect you. Somebody help me here now. You fall in love with God, you get a love for God burning in your heart, you'll be able to go right by the magazine racks.
Amen.
Amen. You get a love for God in your heart, and you there will be things that you beforehand you struggle with, you wanted, you reach for. But you get a love for God in your heart, and there'll be some things that you'll just pass right on by. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house here tonight. I'm talking about being victorious. I'm talking about how easy it is to live in victory. You can live in victory where your flesh is concerned if you just keep it submitted to the Holy Ghost. And you can live in victory where the world is concerned. All you got to do is fall in love with God. If you don't love God, you're going to love something. There's only one thing left to love, and that's the world. Love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if that scripture is true in that fashion, flip it over. If any man love God, the love of the world is not in him. That's what that scripture is actually telling us in the reverse. That if you love God, you're not going to love the world. Amen. You get a love for God in your heart, you won't even have, you'll pass right by the jewelry counter at Walmart's or at Kmart's or any other mart.
Right.
Hey, amen. You won't be standing around thinking, oh, I tell you what, I wish our pastor wasn't so strict. I wish, it's not a matter. It's not a matter of whether your pastor's strict or not. It's a matter of whether you got a love for God in your heart. Do you know there'd be a lot of things I wouldn't even have to preach in this pulpit if people had such a strong love for God in their heart that love itself, the love of God within their heart would cause them to say, why do I want that? You wouldn't even entertain a desire for that because you got a love for God in your heart. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Victory over the world is simply found in a love for God. There's nothing, there's no other secret. Take your Bible, read it for yourself. There's no other secret. There's nothing else you can do. Now, let's move to the third one. Now, I don't have much voice left, so I'm just going to give this to you real quickly here. Because this one to me is the easiest one of all. Power over Satan. Amen. He wants you to think that he can control you and manipulate you. But he doesn't have the power. If you ever identify who he is and what he is, he don't have a chance in your life. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the what? Devil. And he'll do what? Flee from you. The power of God upon your life. The authority of God. The government of God over you. That gives you the power to turn and resist the devil. And he'll flee. Amen. Jesus was tempted by the devil. What did he say to the devil? It is written. Three times. Somebody say it is written.
It is written.
The word of God becomes your tool against the devil. All you've got to do is take him back to the book. Not only that, but God has given you power. Jesus calls his disciples in Luke 9 and 1, and the Bible said he gave them power and authority over all devils. Do you understand tonight that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? Do we understand tonight that the devil cannot pluck you out of God's hands? Yes, the devil is going to assault you. He is going to come against your mind. He is going to do everything in his power to draw you away from where you are in God. He's going to accuse you. Truth is, all he can do is falsely accuse you. Because that's what the Bible calls him. He is the accuser of the brethren. Says nothing about having evidence against the brethren. He just accuses the brethren. Jesus said in Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
Somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing shall by any means, doesn't matter what it is, nothing can hurt you where the devil's concerned. He gave us power over serpents. What are serpents? They're subtle. They want to sneak up on you. It's what the serpent did in the garden. It was very subtle. And so the enemy will use very subtle means to try to overwhelm you. He will come as a scorpion. What does a scorpion do? Scorpion stings. Injects poison into you. The enemy would like to poison you where your brother is concerned, where your sister is concerned, where your pastor is concerned. Huh? He'd like to inject some poison into your spirit. So you have the subtle ways that the enemy tries to work behind the scenes and under the cover and try to put things in such a position where that people are deceived and problems arise. He liked to poison their spirit. And then he said, over all the power. When you deal with all the power, he's talking about the enemy using everything, coming in like a flood, just to try to wash you right out. You destroy your soul. And what Jesus said, I give you power over all of that. That means that I'm telling you, saint of God, the devil cannot touch you when you're living for God. Come on, saints. I've had people call me up in the middle of the night and say they saw green eyes coming out of the shower. And they want me to come and rebuke the devils in the shower. And I said, look, all you've got to do as a saint of God is just say, I come against these spirits of fear. I bind them in the name of Jesus. You have no place in this house.
Amen.
The devil would like for folks to think that they've got... Somehow the devil's got more power. That they got this idea that it's God and the devil and then the church. I'm telling you, that's not the way it is. It's God and then his church. And if there's anything down here that can happen that God allows, it's the devil's further down. We're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We share in his power, in his authority. I've already quoted James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, listen to me. I want to help somebody right now. I want to help somebody, and you're living for God. Amen. Because sometimes the enemy starts working on your mind. He will start playing with your thoughts. And he will start causing you to question whether or not you should even attempt to continue to live for God. You're a failure. You made so many mistakes. Amen. And sometimes people can get so frustrated in their walk with God that they feel like, what is the use? I want to help somebody here right now. Ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself some questions. Do I want to backslide? Do I want the world? Come on. In other words, start taking inventory within. Get inside of yourself. Ask yourself the question, do I want sin? Do I want to go out and party? Do I really want to go out and partake of the things of the world? Is that what I want to do? And if you can say from within, no, that is not what I want, then you need to realize your battle is not coming from within. Your battle's coming from without. And there's a way to handle that. And that's tell the devil it's over. It's over. I don't want the world. I don't want sin. I don't want the things of this world. I don't want the party scene. I don't want the drink and the drugs and everything else. I want God. You say, Pastor, that's too easy. No, it's not in that sense too easy. It is a fact that if you can identify where the battle is coming from. Now, if you start answering from within yourself, well, yes, that's what I want. I want the world. I want to go out and lay on the beach. And I want to go out and have a good time and party. I'm tired of this straight and narrow way, this restricted lifestyle. I'm sick of this. Well, friend, you don't have a chance. Because if it's in your heart, you will eventually do what is in your heart. But I fear that there have been people that have lost out with God because they didn't understand where the battle was coming from. They didn't understand where the attack was coming from. Listen, if you want the world, trust me, eventually that's where you will wind up. You'll wind up wherever your heart is. But what I'm trying to do right now is help somebody to understand that when you are struggling and you are fighting just to go to church, and yet in your heart, there is no desire for the world, then stop and realize where the attack is coming from. It's coming from without. It is not coming from within. And if it's not coming from within, that's when you can rise up and say, it's it. It's over with. Devil, you're done. You're done. It's over with. Let us say praise the Lord. I want to tell you all a story tonight. I hesitate to do this. It's 10 minutes till 9. And I hesitate to do this. But I feel like it'll help solidify. I've kind of struggled the past number of minutes here whether to not even get in this or not. But I think I will. I don't know if I have ever had to deal with anything so stressful and so exhausting as what we have had to deal with where my father is concerned. It has been puzzling. It has been frustrating. It has been something that the stress factor has been just unbelievable. And so I have been praying for weeks. Now, granted, Elder Bass has some physical problems. And those physical problems that he's got could very well, in process of time, take him. We don't know. We're still trying to find out all of what's going on. However, I've been praying because that I couldn't put my finger. There was something going on and I couldn't put my finger on it. And so I've just been praying and seeking the Lord and trying to get some answers. And so the past number of days, last week, I just really said, God, we need some help. We need your help. Because there's something going on here that I can't put my finger on. I need your wisdom. And when you're real close to a situation and you're involved, even emotionally sometimes, you can't see everything that you need to see. And so I've been praying and seeking the Lord and praying and seeking God. Brother Padgett came in on late Friday night. We picked him up in the airport. Sister Padgett was driving down. He was coming in from preaching a camp out in Oklahoma. And so he came in, and on Saturday afternoon, situation was such, the elder was just struggling with these emotions and his nerves and everything, what we call nerves. And I called with the Padgett. I said, come over. And he was at the house. I was at the apartment out there. I said, come over and let's pray for the elder. So we went over. And we prayed. About that time, my sister Janice came in to spend some time with him. So we went back to the house. 2 or 3 minutes when the Padgett and I were talking, he looked at me and said, I want to tell you what the problem is. He said, a spirit of fear has come against the elder. He said, I'm telling you, a spirit of fear has attacked his mind. And he said, that's what you're dealing with. And so I'm not getting into a lot of details because it's not necessary. I'm just giving you trying to get to the end of the story here. And so that was early in the afternoon. We talked about it and prayed about it. And so through the afternoon, I realized that God had given me my answer. I realized that God had let me know what the problem was. At least we knew that there's some physical parts here that are very critical and could be and probably are life-threatening. We don't even know to what extent. We will, I hope, in the next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. But this other part was what was so troubling because it was such an exhausting situation. And so I realized that God had given me an answer. And so I went later on that evening. I got to thinking and praying about it. And I thought, Lord, you need to open a door that I can go and sit down with him and let him know what he's fighting. But I got to do it in such a way that without a doubt, the enemy doesn't just reach him, get a hold of his mind and capture it and kidnap it and keep me from breaking through. And so, again, there were several things that happened. I was actually leaving the house, coming here for prayer meeting. 2 or 3 things happened that prevented me from being able to get. In fact, I was halfway here to the church and I had to go all the way back to the house. And so it was almost 5:30. When I finally got free, and when I left the house, I just drove out into the country. I said, God, I got to be alone for a while. I got to talk to you. And I just drove and drove, and I talked to the Lord, and I talked to the Lord, and I just kept praying. God, I want direction. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to handle this. Tell me exactly what needs to be said. And give me the direction. Let me know exactly. And so when I got to my furthest point, I had my answer. The Lord let me know exactly how to handle it, what to say, what to do. And I turned around, and as I started back to the house, here's what I said. And I even told my daddy this. I said, God, my daddy may have to die from the physical problems that he's got, but he doesn't have to die defeated. And I started praying right then. On the way home, I'm driving and I'm saying, you devil, you have tormented my father long enough. I am taking dominion and authority over you. And when I get to his house this evening, it's over with. You played your last game. You put the last amount of pressure. You brought the last bit of confusion. You're done. It's over with. Do you hear me? I am pleading the blood. I am coming against you in the name of Jesus. I prayed that way. I said, this is it, God. I'm not dealing with this another day. I got back to the house. Went over and told Brother Padgett. I said, I'm going over to talk to my father. I said, be praying. Told my wife, Sister Padgett. I walked in the door and he was sitting at the table reading his Bible. And I sit down and I said a few words and I said, you know, here's what the Lord had told me. He had had an experience on Sunday night, right? While the church was going on here on Sunday night, he had had an experience. He said that he opened his Bible up. And he was reading Luke chapter 1, and he got to that verse in Luke chapter 1 where the angel told Mary, "For with God nothing is impossible." And of course, there's more to the story than that, but he told me when he got to that verse, he slapped his hand on the Bible and he said, "God, I claim that scripture for myself and my situation right now in the name of Jesus." And he said, the Holy Ghost fell in that room. And he said, "Son, I must have," and he never says this. This is not his language. This is not the way he talks. But he said, "I spoke in a heavenly language for probably a solid hour all alone right there in that room." And I told him, I said, "Dad," I said, "you remember the experience you told me you had Sunday night here?" And he thought it would be so, I remember what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. I said, "Well, the Lord gave me an experience today that I believe both of those are connected." Brother, the devil didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance. It was over with. And I said, he said, "Well, that's the kind of talk I need to hear right now." And we got to talking, and the Holy Ghost fell in that room. And in a little bit, I called, and we got all done. I went right down the line. I said, "This is exactly what the devil has done. This is what he's used against you. This is the thing that he's done against you in this whole situation." I said, "When all these things were told to you," I said, "he just used that as an open door to attack your mind and to come against you in such a measure that he put fear in your heart. Fear to go to church. Fear to be around people. Fear to hear noise. Fear to do all this." And I said, "This is not the will of God." Oh, hallelujah. And he said, "You're right. You're right." He said, "I believe it. It's time to see something happen." I called Brother Patch. I said, "Come on over." I said, "We're going to solidify this in prayer. We're going to clinch this thing." He came over and walked in the door. And a few minutes later, he said something was said to him. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing." The pastor said, he looked at Dad, he said, "I'll tell you one thing." He said, "I don't know what y'all been talking about over here." He said, "But I know this. When I walked in this room, I felt the Holy Ghost. And that's a lot different spirit than what I felt this afternoon when I came in here." And we started praying, the power of God fell. The elder almost got up out of his chair and started shouting right there in that room. I mean, he was shaking all over. The Holy Ghost was moving. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, when you find out where it's coming from, if you realize the attack, you see, and I will say this, and that is, while he has had in the past problems with nerves to a measure, whatever, this we understood was being called nerves, but it wasn't that. As long as it could be called nerves, that meant it was inside and nothing could be done about it. But when we realize this is not nerves, this is an external attack, and something can be done about that. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. And what I'm telling you is, when you find out it's not inside, when you find out the problem's not in your heart, when you find out that it's not in your desire, it's not in your spirit, then you can rise up and you can say, "Devil, you play with my mind long enough. Devil, you have troubled me and tormented me long enough. I'm going to live for God. Do whatever you want to do, but your games are over with." Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why he showed up here on Sunday morning. That's why he was here Sunday morning in service. And that's why he'll be back in service. Amen. It's because when we identified that spirit that was attacking the mind. Let me tell you something, church. Hear me carefully. I don't care who you are. The enemy can come against your mind. And he can put your mind in such a state of confusion, amen, that you won't even know if you're pitching or catching, fishing or cutting bait. You won't even know what you're doing. Amen. You won't know if you're swimming or drowning. You won't have any idea. You're just so confused. If you find out, if you figure out what's happening, you've got power over that. Every one of us as humans are susceptible to those kinds of things because the enemy comes against your mind. If you ever get to a point where you realize where your attack is coming from. That's when you can rise up. And in the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the Word of God can become the weapons by which you conquer that spirit. You're going to fight spiritual warfare. Listen, all of you young converts living for God, just getting in the church, you young people, you teenagers, as you live for God, understand that you're going to fight. You're going to fight your flesh. You're going to fight the world. And you're going to fight against the powers of hell. There's a way to battle every one of those and be victorious. You can't fight one with the weapons that another is to be fought with. You have to subject the flesh to the will of the Spirit. You have got to fall in love with God and let that love for God overwhelm any love for the world that your flesh would like to have. And ultimately, where the devil is concerned, understand where the battle's coming from. You see, when it got in the heart of the prodigal to leave the father's house, the father couldn't stop him. And when it's in someone's heart to go to the world, you can't stop them. They will go where their heart is. But if you get a heart for God, there's not enough devils in hell to drag you out of the church. Amen. And when it's within, there's that deep, settled contentment and love for God and the desire to live for God and all this other stuff's coming against you, identify where your attack is coming from. I had a pastor that told me that he was talking with a pastor one day, and this pastor was actually telling him that he was just ready to throw in the towel. Felt like he had gone as far as he could go. He was essentially done. He had all he could stand. And so this pastor was telling me, he said, I looked at this man and I said, well, do you want the world? Do you want sin? Is that what you're looking for? Is that in your heart? And this man said, absolutely not. I have no desire for the world. I have no desire for sin. He said, then, brother, where is the attack coming from? If it's not coming from within you, where is it coming from? And said that pastor's eyes lit up. And he said, oh, Lord, what a revelation. I can handle this. And said instantly, there was an instant change in his whole demeanor. And he walked out that day with the victory in his soul because he understood where the attack was coming from. Well, I'm trying to help somebody here tonight. Understand where your battle's coming from. Understand where the attack is coming from. And if it's coming from without, you can deal with that through the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can tell the devil where to get off. Hallelujah. For that matter, you can tell him where to go. Amen. That's right. You can tell him to go back where he came from. Somebody say amen. It is not God's will for you to be defeated. It's the will of God to be victorious. Can I hear a witness in the house? I believe it's God's will that it's the will of God we be victorious over our flesh. We be victorious over the world. And we be victorious over the powers of hell. That's the will of God. All we have to do is learn how to fight these battles the way God has given us tools, method to deal with it. You do it, you'll be victorious. We want to live in victory.